Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome, listeners. Welcome to the Lore Boys podcast, the podcast you're listening to right now. My name is Peter O'Donohue, and we just wanted to add in a quick disclaimer for this episode. Due to the state of the world, we are currently recording remote, and there are a few encoding issues on the back end that we had in this episode. There's a bit of a tinny infliction on some of our voices here and there, so hopefully you can bear with that, bear with us, and then just enjoy the rest of the episode. So yeah, thank you for listening. Patrol here, and we're doing another patron request. If you'd like to have something covered on the show, please email us at loreboyspodcast@gmail.com, or head over to Patreon if you want to pay for your suggestion. Ethan?
Peter, I know you're memeing, but like branding is super important. We're the Lore Boys.
Lore Boys here. If episode 124 is your first one, then welcome.
Every episode will be welcome. Someone's first one.
That's true. I always want I always want our podcast to take somebody to prom. but yes, Lore Boys. If you want to leave us suggestions, loreboyspodcast@gmail.com. Of course, as always, payment is not necessary for a suggestion to be covered. We appreciate it. But especially in this time of coronavirus, there is no need to do anything you can't do. Emails are free, except you pay for internet. So, whatever.
What if we started taking donations for text-to-speech in the middle of the podcast?
Oh, like, Christ almighty.
Dialysis. 777,000. 777.
I love everybody who follows us regularly and hangs out on our Discord server, but I trust them about as far as I can throw them. So text-to-speech is not fucking happening.
No, that's a Twitch thing.
But we are doing a patron request now, and of course, I would, despite the fact I said payment is not necessary, I will never look a gift lorse in the mouth. So it is Doom Patrol.
Who are I? Who are you?
My name is Peter O'Donohue. That's true. I feel I'm so out of practice.
I'm James.
It's been a whole week, huh, Peter?
Yeah,
easy to get rusty. You forgot you're still drinking.
I did forget that.
I thought I quit.
I thought I quit drinking.
I'm the cute one.
Yeah.
He always says the funny one off air, but he's not brave enough to say it on air.
Yeah, he's definitely just gonna get roasted in the chat. Okay, so the funny one is self-evident because I'm the one who tells on the air, where you guys don't. But the cute one is not because it's an audio format.
Any of us could be the cute one.
Yeah.
But it's me. I clarified.
But yeah,
the listeners at home.
Sorry for whiffing on the intro there, but yeah, Lore Boys, Peter, Jamie, Ethan, boom, boom, bing, bing, bang,
we and just now put our rings together.
Doom Patrol, exactly. We fuse into one average-looking dude
with good eyebrows.
I bring it up.
Well, Peter, I hope my eyebrows would be powerful enough. Yeah,
I bring it up. Peter brings it down, and Jamie's right in the middle.
Oh baby,
of an Ethan and Peter sandwich.
We are a healthy sandwich, I must say. So Doom Patrol is from DC Comics. Jambo, I'll start with you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about the comic books?
I know that every time I bring something up, Darnell, one of our fans, is able to relate it to Doom Patrol.
You mean the guy who paid for this episode?
Yes, exactly.
The man who is generously bankrolling this episode.
Exactly. That's I've like, he's told me some of the concepts of the superheroes, which is like so out of the world crazy. That like I had a laugh at them, but I can't remember any of them because they were so crazy, probably.
Oh, we'll get into the Doom Patrol. That's the point of this episode. Don't you worry.
I know there's a superhero. Oh, sorry, Peter, were you gonna ask me what I knew about comic?
Come on.
I was expecting Jamie would ask you, but I'll do it. Yeah. Okay. Ethan, what do you know about comics?
Oh, Peter, thank you for asking. No, I do know that there was a superhero in the 80s whose powers only work when he was high on cocaine.
Cool. Which one? Was it my dad?
It was your dad and my stepdad. By their powers combined.
We are abusor. For the record, my dad was never abusive or high on cocaine.
I didn't even have a stepdad. The cocaine superhero's name was Snowflame.
Cocaine? Oh, that's a great name for a cocaine superhero.
Cocaine is my god, and I am the human instrument of its will. Snowflame.
Damn, dude. Yep. I know Halloween costume next year.
Yeah. Sitting at home by myself and doing a bunch of cocaine.
Could you pull that look off? It's not going to focus.
Oh, yes. He looks like the Shredder in the jungle.
Yeah, he does look like Shredder from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
He looks like a coke addict, honestly.
Well,
I should hope so. At least he's authentic.
I'm not addicted. I can quit whenever I want. Oh, you know what? I was going to quit, but now the city's in danger again. I guess I got to do more.
Fight crime? Like, how does that even work?
I actually don't know if he's a villain or a good guy.
Does someone ran a stoplight?
Yeah, does he use buying cocaine as entrapment for criminals? Does he just arrest his dealer?
Oh, he's a super villain, sorry.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Oh,
I was going to quit, but then I remembered that I'm a villain.
I was going to quit, but then I realized I'm addicted to cocaine. Oh, you were going to say something, Jamie? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It's passed.
He was going to laugh, and he laughed.
Oh, I see. So sorry for the messy intro, but today we are doing Darnell's request to cover the Doom Patrol. They're comic book superheroes that first appeared in My Greatest Adventure number 80, which is not a porn. in June of 1963. So are old.
If I'm not mistaken, one of the characters in Doom Patrol would be great in porn.
Yeah, I should hope so. They're older than my dad, who, as I said, has never done cocaine, to my knowledge.
Well, to your knowledge.
What was going on in the world?
Me and Danny used to
park. In 1963?
Yeah. Like,
This was like 7 months before Kennedy was assassinated.
Yeah, man had not yet been to the moon.
Nope.
Man or woman or dog or monkey.
Do you think the Oswald guy, he was reading it before he did it?
Yeah, Lee Harvey was leading Doom Patrol before he assassinated.
It's possible.
He may have picked up an issue every once in a while. He
definitely had a couple issues.
I know Lee Harvey Oswald was hanging out with Ted Cruz's dad in 1963.
Good.
And they were both hardcore communists.
All right.
Good. Boys Club.
And that's... Yeah, Boys Club. currently, Doom Patrol is being published by DC Comics, who also do Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Green Lantern.
As far as I know.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to cover their...
Darnell's other favorite, I think, is Green Lantern, right? Like, he's
yeah,
really,
he really wants us to do Green Lantern lore as well, which we will someday, Darnell. Because
yeah,
we will.
I chose Doom Patrol because I knew they were fucking weird and seemed like a lot of fun to research. And I can confirm there's a lot of weird ethereal ghost sex towards the end of this episode. So stay tuned.
Just like most movies.
Especially, it's Scary Movie's a spinoff of Doom Patrol.
Oh, is it?
We've got Scream Guy, Baby Hand, actor who played Shaggy. All of them are here.
Was he in that?
I think so. I don't fucking know.
Oh my god!
I think it was Scary Movie 2 where the guy had sex with the ghost.
How do you wake up dead?
One of the Wayans brothers.
Yep.
Oh, probably. Yeah. They would stoop that low, wouldn't they?
it was a ghost glory hole, Peter. Okay. There's no stooping involved.
There's no way to know.
There was a time in the bed too where like the girl was like thrown onto the ceiling and then like.
Her boyfriend like nuts so hard it sticks her to the ceiling.
Well, no, there's that, but there's also
bats in her underpants.
Yeah. Anyways, that was a dumb movie. I don't know what we're talking about.
So for the Doom Patrol in this episode, we're going to cover their early incarnations because DC resets the universe every once in a while, and sometimes the characters change. I will cover some later events, but mostly it's going to be like a explanation as to what is Doom Patrol and why. The reason was to sell comics, but, you know. The Doom Patrol are a group of misfit characters whose super gifts cause people to be racist at them.
That's like X-Men, right? It's like
I actually Googled this to see if I could make a comparison. The Doom Patrol were the X-Men 6 months before the X-Men debuted.
Oh, yeah? Ooh. There you go.
Yeah. because so, the Doom Patrol was out in June, and then the X-Men were out in September and of then, 1963.
When was he shot? Okay. November?
X-Men was shot in was assassinated in November, I believe.
Did X-Men do 9/11?
X-Men did 9/11. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
No. Possible.
No, so DC Comics assassinated JFK. Marvel did 9/11.
Okay, there you go.
That's canon. Yeah.
What did Beowulf do?
The shipping of the English Armada.
Same. Yeah. Sure. the original group of the Doom Patrol was led by the Chief, aka Dr. Niles Calder, who is a paraplegic genius whose many inventions made him rich. He now uses his big brain to help superheroes in that the society has deemed freaks.
That's Magneto. Or that not Magneto, that's Professor Xavier.
Loreboy's canon. Loreboy's canon. Marvel stole this concept wholesale and added a dash of psychic powers when creating Dr. Xavier for the X-Men.
Because that's literally him. He's paraplegic and he's in a wheelchair and he's super smart and wealthy. And he just is like, I'm going to take all these wounded little chickadees into my net.
I have like a bullet point here that they're just both compassionate old crippled men who like to help a bunch of freaks who are dealing with prejudice.
What, DC, you don't have a copyright on compassionate old crippled men who like to help freaks, okay?
Yeah, no, exactly.
A public domain. That's a tale as old as time right there.
Frankly, I wouldn't put it past Marvel to, if he was still alive, to sue Stephen Hawking for being a crippled, compassionate old man.
At least copy the concept.
Yeah, exactly. Like, have him pay royalties for being alive.
Yeah, get dumber or stand up and walk. You got two options.
They had to settle one of those court because Disney insisted on going to a place with stairs.
Yeah.
But I'm saying your Disney are bastards.
Yeah, well, I think we can all agree.
Yeah, exactly.
Monkey Mouse and Gonald and Guck.
Gonald Guck. Yeah, the cop. Yeah, he's not wearing pants because he's just always watching. Yeah. So the Chief wanted to make people's lives better from a young age. So he's always been a good guy.
Okay.
He began to receive funding from a mysterious benefactor, which is always a good sign in a comic book.
Wait, I thought the Chief was well. I thought he was just.
No, his inventions made him wealthy, but he started to receive more funding from a mysterious benefactor.
Okay, so he's
just
like,
because you're rich doesn't mean you can't be richer.
Sorry, just timeline. I know you just started and I'm already confused.
I see.
But so has he helped these mutants or freaks yet? I'm calling them mutants, even though that's the Marvel term for them. I don't know. Don't know if we have a term for the Doom Patrol people.
You can just call them fucked up weirdos.
Dutants.
Dutants is totally fine by me.
So like, has he at this point in our timeline, has he started helping the Dutants, or is he just like making inventions and being rich?
Not yet. He's making inventions and being rich. So I started with an introduction of the idea and then the man who had the idea, and now we're gonna get into the Chief, his hobbies, for some reason not how he was crippled. He could have been born in a wheelchair or perhaps inherited it. I have no fucking idea. Okay.
Just like
yeah, he was one day.
Yeah, like I don't even know if he needs it, frankly.
One day he was carrying too much money and it broke his back.
Exactly, he got too rich.
Yeah. He tried to do the Scrooge McDuck dive into the gold, but he just reality hit. You know,
yeah, exactly. But like with the realistic physics in the Doom Patrol, just snapped his back in half.
Yeah.
And now he poops in a bag.
Oh my god.
If only I could have invented something that I could dive into.
Some kind of softer material that I could dive into. I know. And then he just changes all the US currency to water.
So that's supervillain material right there.
Yeah, exactly. I guess that makes me the supervillain. So yeah, he starts receiving funding from a mysterious benefactor. And if we know anything about a comic book movie, if you're a science man or a science woman, and you start getting mysterious money, some bad juju.
Uh-huh.
So, he looks at this and he's like, wow, I have mysteriously received all the funding I could ever need for my science project.
Quote, I won't question it.
Said by every comic scientist moments before helping magic Nazis. Literally all the time. Every single one of them.
I mean, I'll even go beyond comic books. I'll say like that's probably a pretty common trope, and like scientists getting that like funding, because like funding is impossible for scientists. Scientists don't get funding in real life. Come on.
And so like science characters, their ambition always outweighs their morality. So it's just like,
I mean, all these gold bars got swastikas carved into them, but I don't know who they came from.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, I don't want to kill anyone. I really, really, really don't want to kill anyone, but what if I could turn pigs green? The science behind it is just too valuable. My morals are uncompromising. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna turn pigs green. They'll thank me later once they finally see.
Yeah, exactly.
The fruits of my science labor.
All right. So using his newfound funding, he managed to develop an immortality serum. Which is apparently exactly what General Immortus wanted. Since his as with most comic book characters, his name is not a coincidence in universe. It is simply his name.
It's like
Edward Nigma. His initials had been Enigma before he got horny for riddles, sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a Mario thing and also a Crash Bandicoot thing. There's
Engine, NSYNC,
Insane, and then there's EGAD.
It's just nomenclature, basically.
Yeah. It's like phrenology, but instead of like the shape of your skull, it's like the name that you're given at birth. And I'm sure there's a name for that I just don't know.
Oh yeah, you know?
But it's like you're named Immortus. You're predisposed to be a supervillain obsessed with becoming immortal. I see now.
it's not even dismissed as quackery yet at all.
Yeah, yeah.
that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and also
well, it's not self-fulfilling. You don't name yourself. I didn't name myself.
Mere exposure.
If I would have named myself motherfucking Dr. Immortus or whatever.
The mere exposure theory too, it's like, is like saying there's more Phils who live in Philadelphia, which is true per capita. Like people like
bunch of fucking sheep.
Okay, but is that so that must be the parents naming them, right? Like that's gotta be, we live in Philadelphia, so we're gonna name our child Phil.
Like everything in psychology, it's a mix of a bunch of reasons. It's probably Phil's like I could see myself in Philadelphia just because they love their own name so much, like subconsciously. People probably live there, name their kids more.
Someone's gotta make it Ethadelphia.
Yep.
Ethadelphia. I'd still move there.
It's a mere exposure effect, I think. Look it up on your own time.
Okay. Philadelphia lore concluded.
Yeah.
Can we just halt the podcast while I go to the Wikipedia page for a mere exposure?
Yes. Duh. That's what you paid for, isn't it, Darnell?
Yep. Okay, so General Immortus paid for this? Paid the...
Yeah, he saw potential in a young the chief.
Okay, so was the chief's name the chief?
No, it's Dr. Calder. It's Dr. Calder.
Oh, yeah, you did tell us that.
General Immortus had his own kind of like bunk immortality serum. Like, yeah, I'm alive for centuries, but I'm not like happy, right? It's got some side effects. I've been impotent since 1760. So, you know, it's just really not worth it. Frankly,
this
I don't even
weird twinge in my knee.
Yeah, exactly. Like every time it gets humid, my thumbs hurt. So I'm just not into it.
I don't get excited whenever I send young men to their deaths anymore.
Exactly. It's just lost its luster. I thought the invention of the firearm would do it. It just didn't.
It didn't rekindle my passion.
Yeah. So Immortus would end up being the first antagonist in the first issue of the Doom Patrol back in 1963.
Okay.
And then the Doom Patrol was actually founded in response to General Immortus by Dr. Calder / the Chief for all of his future schemes.
And nobody arrested the Chief for creating this weapon for the evil general.
No, because he's just a scientist, right? Like, we don't arrest people who... like, we didn't arrest the guy who invented the knife, despite the stabbings.
Well, Peter, if somebody invented a biological weapon and then gave it to somebody hellbent on using that biological weapon, I think they would be arrested.
What about the atom bomb?
Oh, I don't think we arrested them. I don't think Oppenheimer went to jail. Einstein sure as shit didn't.
No, we tried to put him in behind bars, but...
I mean, they...
Too smart! He got through the bars.
They actively pardoned Nazis who worked on the Manhattan Project.
They sure did.
For the war crimes that they did as Nazis. Because they were like, oh, you helped us with the atom bomb, though. So guess his excuse, but that's the United States.
Well, that's one of those things where it's just like, hey, if you rat out your mob boss, then you know, we'll cut a deal with you. There's always a deal to be had, man. Yeah. There's always.
It's the United States military for you.
So Immortus is a general in a spooky evil society. It's basically one of those I can't believe they aren't Nazis societies that cropped up in comic books.
Okay.
Can't believe they're not, like, the margarine thing?
Basically, yeah.
But so I guess the Marvel
Nazis equipment. Not in this tub sort of. That's the brand of the society that he's a part of.
All that Nazi flavor, none of those Nazi fats.
Yeah. Exactly. It's less than 6 million calories.
Oh no.
Now with vitamin A for Aryan.
Okay, I don't want to riff on this anymore. Let's move on.
I think the Marvel equivalent is Hydra, right?
Like Hydra are the, yeah. So Hydra would probably, because Marvel, I guess, is, because I'm a normie, Marvel is more popular because I know way more about that. Yeah, so Hydra would be the, I can't believe it's not Nazis. Whereas his society, or Dr. General Immortus' society, would be more of the, like, one of those random ass Reddit butter tubs. Like, Nazis,
better.
Not in this one, taste, question mark. Like, one of those, like, poorly translated ones. More than
butter, anything. Butter? You better fucking believe it's not. Like,
yeah, exactly. So one of the character designs I saw for, the most up-to-date character design I saw for Immortus was, he looked like the actor Peter Cushing, who is in a million movies. He's in Top Secret. He's in the original three Star Wars movies. Just Google him. And he is indeed dressed in a dark green, not quite Hugo Boss SS uniform with a red and white armband on his left arm. But of course, the black portion that would normally be a swastika has been changed and replaced with a different symbol. Although originally in the 60s, he looked like a stereotypical, like, Navy admiral, where he was in, like, a blue suit with, like, the yellow brush shoulder pads, and he was just like, ooh, shaking his fist at the Doom Patrol.
It's fun to stay at the...
Yeah, exactly. He was, like, one of the village people. But he was the, you know, the old, crusty Nazi member of the village people?
The village people, yeah.
He was that guy. Right, yeah. Yeah, cop, Indian...
war criminal.
Oh, yeah. Construction worker. Construction worker, war criminal, some fifth guy.
Guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah, guy in a wheelchair. We don't know if he needs it. His organization was similar to the Real World Thule Society, which is a group of early would-be Nazis that were founded in 1918, just after the First World War. And it was later actually reorganized by Hitler. This is history, not lore. They studied the occult, racial purity, and German history, which are all normal tennis club things, I guess. I've been to a tennis club or two. It's all very uncomfortable, frankly.
Yeah.
But he has also worked with the aptly named Brotherhood of Evil.
they're subtle, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was getting, like, hardcore Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy vibes from that.
Their acronym makes me excited as a WoW player, BOE. Bind on equip. I can sell that.
Okay. It's valuable, yeah. You can sell it. Most of them are bops, but the BOEs.
Bind on pickup. Then that's yours and only yours, yeah.
So Immortus managed to live for centuries due to an alchemical concoction that he had been making. But at some point, somehow, he lost the formula, and despite having been making it for centuries, had absolutely no idea how to replicate it. So
one of the side effects was memory loss, right?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Pharmaceuticals is a tricky game, you know?
Yeah, you got to get the balance of, I don't know, herbs and you like Rubido and Rebus and all that other shit from The Witcher that I learned about.
Reba McIntyre? What?
Yeah, exactly.
Grind her up, put her in your potion.
To make the perfect sitcom, there is an alchemical formula. It's like for every Reba you create, you must take away a Rosie. There is an equal exchange of sitcoms.
In the Rosie's recipe, I think they used a lot of butter.
Oh, yeah. I can guarantee they were not using I Can't Believe It's Not Nazis. They were using straight butter for that one. So at some point, he lost his formula, like I said, had no idea how to replicate it, and then he backed the chief, Niles Calder, in his research and got an immortality serum out of that.
Nice.
I mean, seriously though, like, if you think about like the list of potential side effects for like a dick pill that makes your dick hard, think about the list of side effects for something that makes you immortal that you would like take. You know what I mean? Because like, you know, like we in Canada, when they do pharmaceutical or like medicine commercials, they always list all the possible side effects. So it's like, oh, you know, here's a thing that can help you get with your wife, but like possible side effects include like seizures, like brain death, stroke, heart condition.
Yeah. Yeah. If you feel very alive for more than 48 millennia, please consult a local doctor.
I don't know. It's been 48 millennia, and I'm still here. I'm still alive. I don't know. What should I do or whatever?
Very alive is a state of mind, more than anything. Because exactly. Like, when you're bored, you're not very alive. Like, what if some guy had been alive for 48 centuries and was just kind of bored of it? Like, would he know?
Do immortal people get depressed?
Oh, I guarantee it.
In so many lore things, they get bored and cause problems. Like, that's been...
Dr. Manhattan, another comic book.
Dr. Manhattan, one of the D&D episodes, too, I think. We had a god with nothing else around who got bored and created a bunch of people. And
yeah, I think Elder Titan in Dota that we did, like... Yeah. 2-3 weeks ago, got bored and created most creation myths in video games and D&D involve like something existing in nothing, getting sick of it, and then just making the world.
Maybe it was magic.
I don't know if it's us applying the he must have got bored. You know, but there's always like
projecting.
Some unknowable creature in the void who decides to create everything, and then maybe we're being the ones to be like, oh, you know, he must have been bored.
He must have been sick of it.
I would have been
bored. The only reason I've ever created life completely by accident because I was fucking bored.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God that's legal. Anyway.
Too bad not paying child support isn't legal, huh?
No, yeah. Damn you, feminism!
Oh my God. James Miller did not laugh at this joke.
I thought it was very funny. Ethan Palmer. I thought it was pretty funny.
Thank you.
What was a joke?
I'm obviously not serious.
No. Nothing we say is serious.
No. So, we've got a leader, we've got an enemy, and we need some people to fight it, because Lord knows some guy with no legs ain't doing nothing, except making immortality serum for Nazis. So,
the chief has made this for the Nazis, has, like, Immortus outed himself as a Nazi when he, like, decides to pull together the Doom Patrol?
Afterwards. So he gets his funding. He makes his serum. Immortus is just like, cool. Thanks, bro. By the way, here's what I'm going to do with it. Continue to live and be evil as shit. And then he was like, oh, no.
Oh, no. I never saw this outcome.
Thankfully, there are multiple people that I can help out with that have amazing powers. And then we're going to fight you. So it's all very it's all very convenient, frankly.
Very serendipitous.
I was going to say that, but then
you started it.
Trip over my tongue.
He was going to say
Sarah. And it was so nice.
He was going to say Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, it was very Sarah McLachlan of them. Yeah. In the arms of the angels, Nazis fly away.
So one of the first members of the Doom Patrol is Robot Man.
Okay, what's his power?
Is he a man or a robot?
We'll get into it. His real name, and I want you guys to guess. I will go just because this is how your videos are stacked. Ethan will guess first, and then Jamie will guess second. I have a list of names here, and I want you guys to choose the real one.
Wait, can I guess before you even start?
Sure.
Robert Ottman.
Nope. Jamie, do you want a quick guess before I start?
No. I want the easy way.
So his real name is either Jeremy Irons, Patrick Steele, Clifford Steele, or Touch Rust Rod.
Okay, I'm going four. I'm saying four, Touch Rust Rod.
Okay, Jamie?
I'll go Clifford Steele just to mix it up.
Jamie, you fool.
Okay, so the actual answer is Clifford Steele.
Oh,
I actually looked at Peter's eyes, and he looked to the side when he said Clifford Steele, which is an old trick.
Oh, damn.
I can't believe I gave it away.
Yep.
So I specifically made Peter big screens, like the focus, and me and Jamie are little and on the side. Okay. And I'm still just looking at myself. So I wish there was a way to hide my
camera.
On
my little the subtle movements of my cheekbones and shit.
I've been watching crime documentaries, dude. I'm dialed in right now.
Fuck, I'll never lie to Jamie again.
I will say though, before you said touch rust rod, I was leaning Clifford Steele. Okay. I knew not Jeremy Irons because Jeremy Irons is an actor, and I know that. I don't know if Jeremy knows that, but
no idea. No, yeah. I'm not Jeremy.
Yeah, no. Jeremy Irons is Jeremy Irons knows that he's an actor. Or he's I don't know actor. If Jeremy Irons knows. That he's actor. Maybe he's just doing it by accident this whole time. but I don't know if Jamie knows that. But he voiced Scar in The Lion King.
He did in the good one,
the animated one.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the live action, so I can't.
Well, I mean, I didn't watch it either. But
I was thinking Clifford Steele though.
Yeah. So just for those playing at home, Jeremy Irons is a UK actor. Sorry?
Well, give me a point too, because I was thinking.
Yeah. There you go. Fine.
Sky.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Okay, Robert Altman was pretty good though, right?
It was a very good one, yeah.
Altman?
Rob Altman. Because it's a very comic book guy alter ego. So for those playing at home, Jeremy Irons is a UK actor. Patrick Steele is a porn star that I found because Lexington Steele was too easy. So I just typed Steele into Pornhub and chose the first guy that wasn't Lexington Steele.
So I don't know if you're just choosing your own preferences or outing your own preferences of porn stars here. Because like I know a fair amount of porn stars, but I've never heard of Lexington Steele.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, you could have had Lexington Steele. It would have meant nothing to me. Yeah.
I thought he was like with Ron Jeremy as just like guy who's famous for having a huge dick.
I would say Ron Jeremy, Peter North, that guy from Black.com that I really like.
So I don't know who Peter North is.
Well, we all agree we look up the guy's name, right?
Yeah.
To find the best actor.
You're to find the video you're looking for because he's objectively in less films.
Right. No, and that's the focal point of anytime he's fucking or like you're checking out him, right?
I would bet you the guy is in less films because he's like faceless. He's like an extra. It's like those extras that are just in everything. And it's just like, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be like a billable title. It's just like, oh, here's the guy too, you know? Peter North, not known for a big cock, though he does have a big cock. He's known for big cum shots.
There's one guy, I don't know his name. I heard it on another podcast, but every time he comes, he just says, dropping loads.
In the pie, 5x5. It's like a StarCraft character. Every time you tell him to attack, he says a voice line. Like,
oh yeah, like yes. It's just like I go work now.
Work.
Control A. Your male porn stars dropping loads.
Anyway. You need to wait 30 minutes until this peon can drop another load.
Yeah. Yeah, but after that, it's faster.
It's not a refractory period. I'm on cooldown.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Gamers, rise up.
Oh yeah. especially below the belt. And then Touch Rustrod is a fake name for the made-up character named David Ryder from the film Space Mutiny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
You've got to watch Mystery Science Space Theater 3000, their episode about Space Mutiny, and you'll get a bunch of great fake names.
I love MST3K.
It is so good. So Clifford, or Cliff Steele, was a radical race car driver who, while driving in the Indianapolis 500, got into a hideous car wreck that destroyed his entire body.
Okay.
So the chief saw that his brain was undamaged and was just like, God, I love helping people. I'm going to put his brain into a robot body. And thus was born Robot Man. However, in the original few issues, he was called Automaton.
Is he like a transformer? Does he have wheels at his feet and stuff?
He doesn't have wheels. He can change the shape of his body a little bit. Although originally he was just a stupid looking 60s robot with like a big dumb like chompy metal jaw.
It's like the robot from the Jetsons. Like
oh, like Rosie with the one wheel.
Yeah,
he just like scoots around on it. Yeah. No, he has two legs.
Okay.
So apparently, he wasn't really aware of this, what with being fucking dead. One of the side effects of being implanted into a 1960s robot body shortly after death is frequent dips into horrible depression. Robot Man often views himself as less than human.
Well, like, why do they keep calling him Robot Man? His brain is alive. Call him Clifford, for fuck's sake.
You could still probably use his real name. You're right.
Oh my God, I'm alive. Oh. What is happening? What is this? Where am I? Oh, don't worry, Robot Man. You're in my lab.
Yeah.
Oh,
take it easy, who? Wheelchair dude. Like,
yeah.
my name is Clifford. Who are you?
To be fair, they still called RoboCop Alex or Mercer in RoboCop. So you're totally right.
Like, why would you suddenly switch his name to Robot Man?
Yeah, and the fact that his entire body was completely destroyed and he's in a robot body, it's not like he has a disguise. He's obviously life to return to.
Like, exactly. He's obviously processing some trauma here. Like, his wife won't love him anymore.
It was the 60s. They didn't really use the right names for things a lot of the time. Sure.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, well, when you put it like that.
So he doesn't exactly have superpowers because he's, except his brain, entirely mechanical. So his abilities come from that. He has super strength. So he's kind of like on par with an excavator as far as superhuman goes. He's just a very strong machine.
One of his friends has to step on the pedal on the back of his feet for him to lift things. Though, yeah. Like...
every time he backs up, it's like beep, beep, Did you have to install that though? It makes being stealthy pretty hard.
Yeah, like back up, back into the shadows.
Yeah. Hey, Robot Man, I'm gonna take your keys away. You don't want that, dude.
Oh, please, no. Yeah, he's got like, just like keys in the back of his head.
He can't
or
reach
that section of his back that he can't reach.
Yeah, his robot arms aren't programmed to reach the ignition slot on his own body.
So yeah, he has enhanced senses. He can fly, survive underwater, repair himself, and has 64 bytes of data storage, which in the 60s was a lot.
Did you say fly underwater?
He can fly and survive underwater.
Survive, okay, sorry.
I believe flying underwater is called swimming.
I know, yeah. I'm sure you said the right thing, and my brain just like mixed those four words together, and I heard fly underwater. I was like, that seems like a pretty normal thing.
See through glass, fly underwater. Yeah. It's all crazy.
There's a difference between a crab and a fish, right? You think crabs think fish fly?
They must, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, looking up at the heavens.
Yeah.
They're like angels, just like a fucking grouper fish. Like, meow, meow.
Yeah, spits out all its babies.
Dude, you know it takes 4 years for a oyster to be made? Before you
Wait,
eat it?
What?
4 years for an oyster to be made.
Like from the kind of little spore they start out as to being edible?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of our friends who we play League with has an oyster farm, and he explained...
He has a clam farm.
Oh, sorry, clams then. Yeah. I had it wrong.
I think probably clams.
Yeah. I think it's oysters.
What's the gestation period on oysters and clams then?
Unless he's diversified recently. I haven't talked to him about his clam farm in the last 2 years, I don't think so.
I became a top fan on Facebook because I liked so many of his posts, trying to boost him up a little bit. Yeah.
For his fucking bivalve business?
Oh, it's an oyster. It's an oyster fan.
Does he sell them?
Yeah.
Yeah, he sells them. If you're in New Brunswick, his family is the smallest of all the oyster farmers, but they got the best oysters, so you gotta get them.
Up and coming oyster baron.
Yeah, I'll give him a shout out since we're already here.
Well, maybe I'm misremembering. I could have swore it was clams because I thought clams were unique and interesting. Oysters, dime a dozen.
Little Shimogi or oyster company. Shimogi, Shemogue. Shimogi, Shimog.
This has to be the weirdest sponsor we've ever had.
I was going to say that.
This has to be the weirdest sponsor on any podcast ever. Like, Shimogi Oyster Farms.
Have you had your clam
at Shimogi?
Have you had your clam juice yet?
Yeah. Oh, that is on brand. That is on brand.
Yeah, that's true. All clams, baby.
All clams.
Clams all the way down.
So Robot Man remained pretty much unchanged throughout the run of comics from the 60s. Until a run of comics called Crisis on Infinite Earths, which, to my understanding, hit the reset on a lot of shit in the DC universe.
Yeah.
Which they do fairly often, but Crisis on Infinite Earths changed a lot.
Yeah.
Even with that, though, Robot Man is the only member to have been included in every single iteration of the Doom Patrol.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for you, Cliff.
He's a lifer. Good for you, Patrick Steele. Yeah. Good to see you're dropping loads in every issue. Next, we come over to Rita Farr Dayton. She
time
was
time travel.
Oh no, much stupider.
Fuck.
yeah, Farr Date.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
There we go.
Read a Farr Date.
Read a Farr Date.
I would think she could see into the time.
See into
the time stream or the
she could see into the past.
Yeah.
Is that a scryer, or is a scryer just someone who sees someone in the current time? Is that like a magic telephone?
A prophet, perhaps?
I don't know.
A magic telephone?
An oracle?
Yeah.
Oracle would be a magic telephone.
Okay, Rita Fardaden would be a great name for an oracle.
Yeah.
What's a scryer? Logan.
I don't know.
One who scries? I don't know. Well, scrying, scrying in D&D is spying in the current time, in the present.
Okay, it divines, sees or predicts the future by means of a scrying tool, especially because they're balls. So they say future for this, but in a lot of fantasy, it's been just like magic telephone.
In D&D, it's not magic telephone, but magic security camera.
Oh. Yeah.
Rita Fardaten was not a fortune teller at a medieval fair.
Okay.
Well, she was an Olympic gold medalist turned actress who, while shooting a film on location in Africa, was exposed to volcanic gas of some description, which gave her the ability to change her shape and size.
Peter, why did volcano gas do that?
It was a comic in the 60s. And my guess would be something that we in the modern times would find very uncomfortable because it was an African volcano.
Boy, people in the past sure were stupid, huh?
People in the past were bad people.
For them, like, they would have to go to the library to see a picture of a volcano in the 60s. You couldn't see a library. Or, like, couldn't see a volcano.
You couldn't just see a library.
Well, you could.
You have to go to a library to find a picture.
Picture of a library to know where to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... A lot of people never have seen a volcano, even.
I haven't seen one in person, I don't think.
Well, we don't need to. We could just see it on the internet. We're scryers, man.
That's true, man. Seeing into the present.
I took a vacation on one like a month ago.
Yeah.
And had a nice view of a second one.
Yeah. You were on the safe one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The dormant volcano.
Yes.
So no
the lazy volcano.
No superpowers for me. No, thank you.
Yeah. No strange volcano gas from my lungs. Thank you.
Call me pedestrian, man.
He doesn't drive cars. Ever.
Yeah, exactly. The power to walk places.
Yeah. Why would I? All I would be doing is contributing to CO2 emissions in the atmosphere.
And that gas could turn someone into a shapeshifter.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Last thing we want.
You're protecting us from Rita Fardaten. Originally, she couldn't control this power, which is why she was kicked out of society and became a freak for the chief to take care of. Eventually, however, she managed to gain control. And she realized she could change the size and shape of individual body parts, like a big fist for punch, a big foot to create hoaxes in the woods. And then she took on the superhero name Elastigirl.
No way, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Wow.
So Pixar's Mrs. Incredible
is a ripoff of Doom Patrol.
Is legally distinct because she's called Elastigirl. With an A instead of Elastigirl with an I.
Very good, Pixar. Yeah. Very good.
So Elastigirl.
If you had this power, what would you do first?
Big dick.
I knew you'd say it.
I was going to say the same thing. It's so easy. It's such an easy experiment that you can do by yourself or with someone who trusts you. You can get into big hand stuff.
I could be the next Lexington Steel. Come on, Jamie.
No, dude. I would make it so I could scratch my foot without having to move my body at all. I could lay completely back and just one finger all the way to the end.
You could, you know what you do? You could just bring your foot to your nails and move your foot.
So ew. I imagined that as well. Like, I imagined bringing your foot up to your hand for some reason.
No, that's like, gross. That's...
Guys, I can hold my foot in my hand. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
I know, but you're moving so much of your body. Why not just stretch your finger?
It was painful, honestly, when I did that. Like, it almost broke me.
Guys, you want to know one of the laziest things I did this weekend? I was tired of playing Final Fantasy VII sitting up, so I put my VR headset on and laid on my back and played looking at the ceiling.
Oh, man. Fucking quarantine comes for us all.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. I don't know.
So, yeah.
Another thing I would do with Elastigirl powers is I would finally be able to reach the ignition key on the back of my back. So
if you were Elasta Robot Girl,
yeah, I'd probably play with that and see
why would the chief create a stretchy robot? What a stupid fucking invention! Immortal Nazis is like at least good to have a supervillain, but a stretchy robot? Come on.
So Clifford wants a heart. She wants courage. Who's the next one?
Oh yeah, well, she wants the courage to like lazily scratch her feet.
I don't know.
She wants the courage to go on the stage and be an actress. It's not easy.
Be an actress again because she's so stretchy. Now that she can control her powers, they probably wouldn't let her back in the Olympics because being stretchy would probably be considered cheating in most things.
You just you don't swim across the pool. You just reach across the
like ocean. Like a big slinky, just like woo woo.
If you could, so just a technicality rule here: if you could touch both ends of an Olympic swimming pool, you know, would you have to do a lap, or would it, that just instantly count as like
you have to lift
lap?
Your hands off, like exactly back and forth,
tap 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 tap.
Yeah, I don't know how the Olympic Committee would deal with something like that.
Maybe we should write them a letter.
Yeah. Well, if I were very stretchy, how would I swim?
First question: how would I swim? Second question:
dear Dick Pound.
They probably get.
If I was stretchy, can I swim?
They'd get their own Olympics, right? Like they'd be in some type of Special Olympics,
something like that. Yeah, they'd be like, in some kind of
super. Like it'd be differently abled Olympics, probably. Yeah. I think
the Super Olympics,
the super, yeah, super instead of special.
They let in people with superpowers and people who use steroids.
Yeah, there you go. Now I'd watch that anime or whatever it is.
Okay.
So along with size and shape, along with size and shape manipulation, I think speculating about these weird 60s comic characters is totally fine.
It's fun. It's fun.
So Elastigirl, that's an I.
Elastigirl.
Along with size and shape manipulation, she also has super advanced regenerative powers. So she can regrow her arms, her legs, heal wounds very quickly. She's all very, I don't know. Her
malleable.
Cells can improvise real well. They're on the ball.
She goes with the flow. It's like exactly. Very, very laissez-faire.
Yeah, she is.
So I wonder if it stacks. Like if she wants to grow her finger really long, she grows it as fast as she can, but also cuts half of it off. So it's regenning at a certain speed while also stretching at a certain speed. And then she gets double the finger length, like twice as quick, you know?
I don't know how that math works.
I don't know how that works either.
Because she can only stretch so fast and she can only regen so fast. So she stretches out, cuts like half off near the beginning. And then by the time she's gotten 10 feet long with a half finger, it's also regenerating.
Oh,
because
she's
regenerating
and stretching.
Oh, you think she can stack her buffs?
That's what I mean.
Somehow? I see. Okay,
I'm trying to min-max
it.
Okay, yeah.
I can only assume that, yes, that's Lore Boy's canon.
Okay.
Okay, sure. Done.
She stacks buffs.
For her Space Jam moment, she can do that.
Yeah. Could you imagine, Michael Jordan going for that half-court dunk, just, cuts his arm off, and he just, grows back, catches the ball, and, stretches twice as fast? I mean, Space Jam 2 is coming out pretty soon, right? LeBron, hit us up if you want us on your side, my guy. Like, hit
you
up
got ideas.
If you want, one of our listeners must know LeBron James. Please get him in touch. Get him in touch with us.
Easy, I guarantee it. All right, I'm gonna let Pete talk a little bit because we're just cutting him off at every pass.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry about it. I mean, it's the comic books are in the 60s, just silly.
Okay.
Elastigirl T. Joins the Doom Patrol because she can't control her size and shape and people think she's a freak. And then she falls in love with another man who joins the Doom Patrol named Steve Dayton because he's Dayton.
And she's far Dayton.
And she's far. Well, I mean, it's because they got married.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. It's hyphenated.
Yeah. Rita Far Dayton.
He saw an investment when she couldn't control her powers yet. Her feet are different sizes. She's lumbering around. But then in the long game, she can craft herself however she wants, you know?
So. But that would make him both a good guy and very shallow, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I think Jamie was saying just shallow.
Yeah.
But
I think
Jamie was saying he was
an opportunist.
You would have to deal with the lumbering, clumsy, slinky woman for a little while, right?
Yeah, he bought low to sell high.
You know what? I love my lumbering, slow, clunky woman. Okay. Thank you very much. I'm not having you speak about my girlfriend that way.
Is she an earshot for that?
She can hear one side of this conversation, so now she thinks we're talking about her.
So Steve Dayton, Elastigirl's hubby, was once the world's fifth richest man, which I always found to be a weirdly specific rank. Sure. And then I looked it up. And today's, at time of recording, on April 13th, 2020, today's fifth richest man is Larry Ellison, which is also just a fantastic superhero alter ego name.
Yeah.
Our current top five, just for dudes, I just look for dudes specifically just for this, because that's the list he's on. The top five richest men right now are Bezos, Bill, Bernard, Buffett, and Larry.
Who's Bernard and Buffett?
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett. Bernard didn't look up his last name.
I don't know Bernard either.
I know. Yeah. Bezos, Bill, Bernard, Buffett, and Larry. Which
so lots of fantastic.
I say get rid of them.
That's our top five.
Cool. Who do Welcome you think to the Billionaires podcast, where where we talk about the billionaires.
I know people say eat the rich, but you have to think of like body composition. Bezos and Bill are both very slim, and I know Buffett's about a century old, but there's got to be at least somebody worth eating.
Bezos is jacked. Are you kidding, dude?
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in really good shape. He'd be good eating. I vote eat.
He's old enough that he'd probably be marbled, and I'm into that.
Yeah, I vote kill and eat.
Medium rare or rare? For your Bezos Biff Tech.
If you know, I'm normally a medium rare, but I'm gonna go rare for Jeff B.
Yeah.
No, all dude. Right. If I ate a person, Jamie? It would be well done for sure. I wouldn't be able to see the liquid or anything. Like I'd have to like marinate it so it's not even like flesh colored anymore. So it looks like I don't know some dark beef or something like that.
Sorry, James. James. You said eating a person, mm-hmm. but we're talking about billionaires. Here.
They're better than we are. They've
it's like
ascended.
Eating a snake.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is like eating some kind of reptile.
Yeah, exactly.
Although
I'd probably eat my snakes well done. So,
would you guys order the marinade on Amazon before people found out Jeff Bezos was dead?
That is great. You have to order it from Amazon.
Amazon Basics steak sauce.
I would, probably.
Come on.
So this came up, I think we might have talked about it in a sound check like a few weeks back, but if I run out of food, I've got like a lot of dog food. And I'm thinking if you guys were in the situation and you had to eat dog food, would you rather eat wet dog food or dry dog food?
Dry.
Dry? Ethan?
That's a tough question.
I'd say wet, so you're the tiebreaker on which I'm buying for all of us.
Well, I'm going to say dry just because it's more like cost efficient, right?
Mm. No, don't think about that. Just like purely which could you stomach easier?
Dry. I think wet.
Because you could probably just get the dry kibble wet in your mouth and swallow it without really chewing or tasting the dog food.
It's like a pill. You have to chew it. It's like if you swallow, you could swallow
your
wet,
pills.
But you have to chew those. It's
so,
yeah.
Is your fucking doctor prescribe you Flintstones fucking shit still?
Also, if I'm thinking long term, I honestly think I could learn to like dog food. Like, I think if I was just eating wet dog food for like weeks mm-hmm. to months at a time, I think eventually it would like click with me. Whereas like dry would probably click too, but then it's like super annoying and I got to like make this like wet slurry every time I want to eat it because it's so dry.
It is so dry. That's the problem. Yeah. You're not going to have milk to put in it. Like it's going to be really dry and it's like dusty and like chalky, but the wet food... And they're all human grade. So if you're ever in a real hunger situation, which if this keeps going for long enough, some of our listeners might be. I have no idea. But this is.
Warboys can eat wet dog food.
You can eat both. They're both human grade because in times of poverty, people resort to cat/dog food. But okay,
well, thankfully, our fifth richest man in the world in the Doom Patrol universe doesn't need to eat dog food because he's probably got servants to eat or whatever the fuck rich people eat. Using his vast wealth, he created himself a sci-fi helmet to enhance his mental abilities. Originally, he did this because he just wanted to impress Elastigirl by being superhuman as well.
Okay.
So this works, and the two eventually get married. And eventually adopt the shape-shifting Beast Boy as their son, who most people might know from Teen Titans, the cartoon. Yeah, exactly. Dayton's alter ego is Mento, the Freshmaker. and he has pretty much every single comic book psychic power that has ever been written. Telepathy, telekinesis, memory alteration, precognition... everything.
His like, arch enemy would be the Coke Man, because the Mento and the Coke Man get together.
That guy we talked about.
They blow up.
The guy we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, exactly. Snowflame.
Exactly. So Snowflame and Mento made contact one day and blew up and actually killed all the members of the Doom Patrol before being rebooted in Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
Nice.
Or did Mento just like foam up a lot, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, just like
should have used Diet Snowflame.
Yeah. just like Peter Moore. Foamed up a lot all over the place.
Yep.
So he would eventually he would be the only one on the early Doom Patrol that doesn't consider himself a freak. Like, he wasn't rejected from society. He was just, like, rich and smart and made a science helmet to make himself psychic.
Okay. I'm not free. You're free.
He was a later addition to the team. If I recall correctly, Dayton or Mento was added in 1965 after, like, a year and a half of the Doom Patrol running already.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was just Rita Farr up until then.
Yeah, exactly. And so the founding members would have been Robot Man, Elastigirl, and now the next guy we're going to talk about here. The final founding member is Negative Man.
He's a downer.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hey, it's a pretty nice day out. Isn't the sun shining? He's like, there's people dying right now. It's like, oh, right. Come on, man.
Literally the robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, exactly. So his original name was Larry Trainer. And he was a test pilot for the U.S. Air Force and was accidentally exposed to space radiation during a test flight.
Uh-huh.
It's, I guess out of all of them, it's like the most basic superhero origin story. Like, cosmic rays gave him his powers.
Dude, they hadn't been to space yet in...
No, they had.
Yeah, Sputnik was launched in the 50s.
Not to the moon.
Not to the moon. 69 was the moon.
Yeah, nice. I remember that.
Yeah, nice. That's the fucking Kennedy. That's the Kennedy legacy, man. They had to do it in 69. Because you know that Kennedy liked him some fuck.
Yeah.
They were ahead of the Russians. They waited. They're like, no. We'll wait till 69. We'll hit it right on the button.
Yeah, exactly.
Get that money shot. Was
going to get up there? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think Jackie Kennedy was probably... I know she used to be a model like Melania Trump, but I'm going to...
Jackie O.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Jackie O was probably the one and only hot first lady.
I mean, I was cool on Michelle.
Cool on Michelle Obama?
Miss Obama, yeah.
See those guns, dude? She could pin you down.
That's what I like.
I don't know, man.
That is what I like.
Please move Peter to the top of our conversation so Ethan and I are both on the bottom. And Peter can be on the top of our webcams. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm a Jackie O man. I like that little hat.
Yeah, I'm not.
You know the one that she was wearing when Marvel assassinated him?
Yeah.
As we discussed earlier. Yeah. Negative Man, Cosmic Rays. It's a super basic origin story, but Negative Man gets the weirdest in the Doom Patrol, including some very strange cosmic being sex that is all canon and loops into other members as well, which is...
Other members as in other penises?
Oh, yeah.
Loops into those penises.
Okay. Oh, just like, but throughout, he exists throughout all of time now, or fucking something.
So we're talking cosmic docking.
Oh exactly. Like the space station, but that's where they got the name was from Doom Patrol.
Okay, yeah.
It's because they.
That's why the leader used to look like a Navyman from cosmic docking. Exactly.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that's General Immortus. He would dock with General Immortus, and that's how they finally defeated him. They found out his kink.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this isn't so bad.
The accident, Larry Trainer became incredibly radioactive, but also got the ability to send out a negatively charged spirit of himself called the Soul Self. This thing can pass through solid matter, fly, and cause solid objects to explode.
It's a ghost.
Yeah, kind of. The way it looks is really cool, especially with the old like 1960s ink. It can be described as being, it's a completely black void that has like a glowing white silhouette of light.
Okay.
Like how you distinguish it from the background. It takes a toll on him though, and he can only kind of project out his radiation ghost for 60 seconds. Okay. And when it leaves his body, his physical body is super, super weak.
Dude, it sounds like a MOBA character, if there isn't one already.
Yeah, right?
Guaranteed, yeah.
He's got a cooldown. You shoot the
he
ghost
does, yeah, he does, have, he does have a cooldown, yeah.
In
just like Peter North, he's got a cooldown.
In StarCraft, there's Protoss characters, Adepts, that can do that. They send out like a shade of themselves, basically.
Nice.
But the difference is they can, at the end of their like cooldown or whatever, they can choose to blink to it. So they can choose to like occupy that space all of a sudden.
Oh, that's rad.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess in Overwatch, Junkrat's kind of like that. Like, he's weak and staying in one place while his Riptire's out and doing all the damage. But that's not quite the exact same.
I wouldn't really call the Riptire a proxy fighter, but it's close.
It's more of a, yeah.
Yeah, it's much more like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure or like a Pokemon thing where he sends out his radiation ghost. Yeah.
Radiation ghost, I choose you.
Yeah, exactly. And then 15 seasons from now, Gary Oak gets bone cancer.
Yeah.
that's how that conflict is resolved. Yeah.
But when Pikachu... When...
Sorry, Jamie's face, the true sadness I just saw in his eyes.
Well, because I'm picturing my head, Ash leaving, like, a hospital room. It's like, beep, 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 beep. And he goes, smell you later. And he walks out.
Why not put Professor Oak in a Pokeball to let him live longer?
Oh, yeah. I guess Pokemon don't age in the Pokeball, do they?
I don't know.
I think Pokemon I think there was episode an ep- one day.
I think there was an episode one of the Pokemon anime one time where it was like, it turned out it was like a beautiful oasis whenever you were in there. And it's like the place that the Pokemon most love to be. So if you're like a Sandshrew, it was like a nice desert place. Or
you put them in the, like you put them in the wrong
Pokemon. Would it just be in like a girl's locker room?
Yeah. or inside a negative man.
Yeah. Or that.
You get your Magikarp and Sandshrew mixed up. So Magikarp's on a desert and Sandshrew's under the water.
That's fuck.
Well,
Magikarp spends very little time inside a Pokeball because you need to shield level it because it's worthless. So you send it out and then switch it out immediately so it gets half XP.
Right. A carp.
All right, Tentacool. Time to go back into the Pokeball. You're just like back to like a burning hot desert. Like
yeah.
just dude, completely evaporates down. the jellyfish. Like,
boils to death. Yeah.
So anyway, with the Soul Self, speaking on the subject of proxy fighters.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously thinks just like everybody else except for Mento, Negative Man thinks that his radioactive ghost is not the greatest thing on Earth. Also, the fact that he is kind of like ambiently radioactive, he can't be around other people at all. So he thinks he's a freak too.
Yeah.
But
that sounds like something Spotify would suggest, ambiently radioactive. But anyways, go on.
Yeah. Ambient radiation for studies.
Yeah. Ambient radiation to chill, study, and crank your hog too, or whatever those things are.
Ambient radiation.
Yeah. So the chief makes him special bandages that protect him and the people around him from the radiation that he's constantly putting out.
So he looks like the Invisible Man.
He looks exactly like the Invisible
Man. What does the Invisible Man look like if he's invisible?
He's
bandages,
covered in bandages
with glasses and like a coat and a hat.
Oh, specifically so people can see it. It's when he's not doing his like superhero thing. He's like, I'm still here, you know, and he wears bandages all over. Like a mummy.
The original thing was written by H.G. Wells, and I think it was an allegory for racism.
Could be.
I believe so.
Tune in for the DC Cinematic Universe episode where we talk about what could have been with the Invisible Man.
Yeah. That new movie looks all right. The Doom Patrol did well as a series. So those are the founding members. We have Robot Man, Elastigirl, and Negative Man, and then eventually Mento, along with the Chief.
Okay.
Right. Went up against General Immortus. So the Doom Patrol did pretty well from 1963 up until 1968. But then the sales started to drop off, and then comic book writers did what comic book writers do. When sales are bad, what do you guys know about comic book writers?
You add a new character.
Jamie and Ethan?
We both said the same thing at the same time. Did you not hear us? We said, add a new character.
No, I only heard Jamie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we said it at the same time. But
you're both wrong, though.
Okay.
Oh, ouch.
The answer is fucking kill everyone.
Oh, not what I would have guessed.
Just ghost the motherfuckers. That's
well,
it.
One of them ghosts himself, but yeah.
yeah, exactly. And then there's a twist after that as well, so stay tuned.
Okay.
So in Doom Patrol, issue 121, Madame Rouge from the Brotherhood of Evil, which we mentioned earlier, and General Zal, who is not I can't believe it's not Nazis. In canon, General Zal was a U-boat captain during World War II working for the Nazis who just stayed underwater to hide from the end of the war. So he's just totally on brand Nazi TM, TM, TM. Like, that's it. Just like, that's just his character.
If they can't find me, they can't accuse me of war crimes.
That's it, exactly.
That's
he waited
up
the Statute of Limitations, and he was just like, cool. Is it in 1968? He's like, all right, time to go.
That's Wolfenstein 2, basically. You have a U-boat for so long, and then you discover that there's Germans in your boat.
Like, they were hiding in the cargo hold, yeah.
Yeah, no, there's another sector. We didn't look at this map. Sector F. There's a bunch of Nazis in our own ship that we've been in for a month. What?
It's a tutorial Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. And then he became a mercenary after the war because he was hiding. And then finally, Madame Rouge and General Zal took over and held hostage the entire town of Codsville, Maine, which is a small fishing town.
Sounds like it.
I Googled it. It's not a real place.
Okay. Well, I would have guessed it was.
The Doom Patrol, after fighting Zal and Madame Rouge, agreed to sacrifice themselves in order to save the town. That was the trade. It ended up being General Zal who hit the kill switch to blow everyone up.
Oh, the Doom Patrol, not the town.
Yeah, just the Doom Patrol. They saved the town, but they all died. Now, here's where the Negative Man shit gets super, super weird. He survived the explosion that killed everyone else, although in canon, it is never explained. Larry Trainer's body turned up unharmed, but is now permanently separated from his radioactive ghost form. Ooh. But he himself is still bandaged, radioactive, and weak. The ghost is now an individual that is called the Negative Spirit.
Okay.
There were some hijinks involving a Russian cosmonaut named Valentina Vostok that it briefly possessed and used as like a meat vessel for a little while. Okay. And then she was also known as Negative Woman while she was
possessed.
But now we can shift into the pervert stuff.
Please do. I've been waiting.
The spirit, the Negative Spirit, was revealed to be intelligent and capable of speech. And it was also completely amoral.
His first words, to get some fuck. Dropping loads.
Yeah. Dropping loads.
Yeah, that's what he said.
It was going to drop some. It decided it was going to drop some loads.
Right. Well, that's why he had to stop possessing Valentina Vostok, because he's like, oh, well, it doesn't make any sense when she says it.
Yeah, exactly. And in the 60s, nobody knew about squirting, so it just had to made the trade.
The female orgasm wasn't invented until the late 1990s.
Yeah. It was 1992, I think.
Earlier than I thought.
Jamie, pull up the clip.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it ended up tracking down Larry Trainer, and he begged to be left the fuck alone from the Negative Spirit.
Okay.
The Negative Spirit was not having any of that consent horseshit.
Okay.
It decided to fuse with him and his physician, Dr. Eleanor Poole.
Really pooled their resources, huh?
Hey.
I was feeling around for it. I'm glad you got there.
Oh, there's a pun somewhere. I must find it.
I must grope blindly for it. like the Negative Spirit grope.
Like the Negative Spirit groping blindly at other people's bodies. Yeah. This three-being entity began calling itself Rebus, R-E-B-I-S, and described itself as a divine intersex being.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
It refers to itself as we, because both Trainer and Poole are still alive and conscious within the ghost form, like in the one shared head. And it seems to have chosen a man and a woman to fuse with at the same time so that it could become immortal. In a process called the Enema Regis, it simultaneously throws off its old dead body and gives birth to itself.
Good. There's got to be a butt involved. It's with Enema, right?
Yeah.
Enigma. Maybe it's a clue.
Oh, Enigma. Very different than Enema.
Yeah. It poops itself out, but it's very clean.
But it goes into the butthole and it somehow poops out. Very strange. Yeah.
It's a paradoxical entity. You understand, right? It is both draining and filling itself with Enema water. So, during the Enigma Regis, it throws off its old body and gives birth to itself. But despite the fact that this thing has, without consent, fused two human beings together, it still is just like, maybe this whole Ouroboros rebirth thing of myself is too fucked up for the Doom Patrol, so I'm just gonna step away. It will leave the Doom Patrol to give birth to itself.
Okay, to like be a Dr. Manhattan figure who's like, I'm gonna go live on Mars by myself.
Something like that. Yeah, the thing it recreates is it. Again, along with Larry Trainer and Eleanor Poole, they all go forwards together as one entity, which is fucked up.
We're going to our eternal self orgy for the next couple thousand years. Don't call us.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be back in the present, and you won't know how much time has passed because I exist all over the place. So whatever, it's no big deal.
Did Dr. Manhattan really go to Mars? With that name, you'd think he'd be pretty attached to New York, right?
He lives in Mars. So Dr. Manhattan is actually, we were talking about the Manhattan Project, but he's kind of like an allegory for the Manhattan Project. He's just like a weapon of ultimate destruction.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense. Vietnam. Yeah. and then they pull a big squid out of the sky or something.
Something like that.
This isn't about the Watchmen, god damn it.
I'm sorry. It's a convenient parallel for me.
It is, yeah. Eventually, Rebus grew tired of having sex with itself and giving birth to itself, so it figured it wanted to spice things up a bit.
Okay. What did it do?
Okay. Bring in a cuck. Gonald Guck.
Yeah, get Gonald Guck back in here. So it was no cucking.
We need somebody to watch.
No light bondage. Exactly. It's like, I need you to stand in the closet and watch me give birth to myself. And it was just like... He's like, perfect. I'm glad you're into it. So no light bondage, no infinitely looping strap-on pegging itself. It wanted hookers, baby.
Oh, that's a picture. I hope that's the art, the infinite strap-on.
Infinite looping strap-on?
Yeah. Well, if we're a Democratic podcast, at least the management trifecta that we are here is Democratic. So if you both want that, then thus it shall be. Yeah. Sorry. So Rebus hired a sex worker who is the transgender prostitute Kate Godwin.
Okay.
Godwin, after having sex with Rebus, was affected by its radiation. Thankfully, this is a comic, and instead of like rotting out Godwin's bone marrow,
radiation poisoning.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of dying in a hospital bed and having her DNA fall apart, she got superpowers.
Oh, yeah. Good. That would be a god loss. What you said. This is a god win.
This is a god win. Exactly. Yeah.
God. I got F in the chat, boys.
Terrible superpowers, however.
Okay.
Kate Godwin gained the ability to liquefy solids and solidify liquids.
That sounds like a pretty good power.
On a large scale, that could cause a lot of damage.
I mean, humans are solid.
It's not just that liquefy. Exciting.
No, just turn someone's blood to a solid. Like, they're dead instantly.
She joins the Doom Patrol, so she's a hero. So she's not into the whole murdering people with solid blood thing.
But supervillains.
Oh, she's so good in hospitals, though. Blood clots.
Boom. Oh, yeah.
No problem.
So she gave up hookery after getting superpowers.
Can I just say, like, that seems like a much stronger power than projecting a ghost of yourself that could make objects explode. I can scratch my foot without having to bend my back at all. Like,
frankly, it's even better at Halloween parties because you could, like, I don't know, like, oh, how old are you, birthday boy? Oops, you melted. And like, what a crazy party trick.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, it's good fun.
Presumably, you would be able to reform the birthday boy because you're just a superhero.
Perfectly, yeah.
Yeah. She gave up hookery and took on the name Coagula and joined the Doom Patrol in
those
some
good names.
Yeah.
I don't like
Caligula.
It.
Yeah, but yeah. Coagula, like blood, like we were talking about.
So she joined the Doom Patrol in some runs and even started a relationship with Robot Man.
Aw.
Yeah.
The only thing she couldn't melt was his heart.
Because he doesn't have one. He's just a brain. The Doom Patrol has been in several DC series, even since being killed off in the 60s. They've all come back in different ways. And they had a TV show that was on recently that I've heard pretty good things about.
Yeah, Darnell's definitely shown us a clip from that TV show.
Yeah, exactly. But that would be the OG Doom Patrol and then the weird ghost orgy that I wanted to talk about for this episode.
If you guys could date one of the ones that we met, which one would it be?
Ghost
orgy. I'll be the fifth richest man in the world because I like nice things.
I was going to say Jeff Bezos, so you got me. Yeah.
He's the first richest man. You'd have to date...
We talked about him.
Mento.
Yeah. I don't know. Actually, no, the girl that can change shapes and stuff, because I think that'd be fun.
She could give you a foot massage without even moving.
Yeah,
you can scratch your feet without having to bend over.
It's a different. Yeah, it could be a different person every day, depending on how she feels too. Like, she'd probably be a different person from when you got to know her that when you had, like, been in a long time relationship. So things are always fresh, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be nice. Anyway, I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find me at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter or at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram, and then theloreboys.com. I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much to Darnell for bankrolling this episode. I hope you enjoyed the insanity that this was. Please forgive us while in isolation. It's, but it was a lot of fun to research. It's comics are so fucking strange, honestly. And one of y'all, please introduce yourselves.
You can find me. I'm James Miller. I'll be at leakspin.com. And if you want to see me also on the Discord, I spend a lot of time there. I spend a lot of time on Twitch. I've done 4 streams in the last week, something like that. So definitely out there on Twitch, twitch.tv/theloreboys, or just check our About section and get into the Discord, because we like chat with people every day there. That's where I spend the most time. And people have been pouring in. It's still fairly small, but I'm seeing more and more people there, so that's where I want to start hanging out more. So come to the
people
Discord.
People eventually find their way into the Discord and then end up trapped there somehow. We're unsure, but...
Yeah. If anyone wants to... I'm Ethan, at EthanTheDeadMan on Twitter. If anyone wants to recommend an episode like Darnell did for us today, Discord's the best place to do it, for sure. Other than that, there's always the Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. It'll get you access to a Patreon only chat on that on said Discord, and it will help you to bend our ears to do your strange request.
If you pay us, we have to do it.
Yeah, and we want to do it
because if you want me to talk about radioactive sex ghosts, money is the best way to do it.
Exactly. If you want us to do another Diablo X episode, that's what X-pisode. We're doing. Yeah, I just actually played a lot of Diablos last week. It's gross. It's gross, but anyways, yeah.
So stay tuned for that next week.
Yeah.
Anybody who doesn't trust Patreon, we always have Lore Boys Prime, which is a independently run and operated by us way of keeping us afloat, as it were. This week we are offering you a very special prize. We've been working pretty hard on coming up with some superpowers of our own over here. So I'm Papercut Man. I have the ability to give myself paper cuts at any given time. So it didn't quite work out the way I'd wanted it to. I did eat a lot of uranium, and this is all I got. So I'm not super happy with it. But we're working to get you guys some superpowers too. So anybody who is able to send us an infinitely looping strap-on, you will be the fourth member of the Lore Boys Patrol, Lore Patrol.
I was born with 9 webbed toes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really good.
That's James. He's always had it. He didn't have to eat any uranium for that.
Nope.
My alter ego is a mediocre man. I have the power to disappoint any woman I meet.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Peter, not just women.
No.
but if you want to join, please just send us your strap-ons, and we will send you a small dose of radioactive material for you to ingest.
That doesn't sound good.
Become one of the Lore Patrol. Well, you know, it's been tested. I'm feeling pretty sick, but we're doing okay.
I'm sure I'll feel once I feel better. I'll be way more powerful.
Oh yeah. Fuck, paper cut.
It was so great that on your vacation you put that big balloon on top of the volcano to get all the gas home for us too.
Yeah, exactly.
She's been huffing it.
She's been huffing sulfuric gas from a volcano.
Hell yeah!
I guess that constitutes
a lore boys.
A lore boys.
A lore patrol out.
Lore patrol out.
Branding. It's lore boys.
If you can't figure a way to make the artwork, I could always just make it the episode title. But Gonald Guck and the infinite looping strap on.
Sure, done.
No, it's not.
Someone's
even
gonna find that on iTunes and just be like, "What the fuck?" Google's Doom Patrol first result. Like, oh no.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.